seems like yesterday since Mandy was just a little baby in the nursery. Now she comes up here and sings for us. That should be an incentive for others. Now, in the past 2 or 3 weeks, we've been looking at some of the parables as recorded in the Gospel according to Luke. We examined 1 week the parable of the two men who went up to the temple to pray, Pharisee and the publican. And then we examined on another Sunday the parable of the Great Supper. Last week we were examining what was the lesson to be learned from the man who fell among the thieves. Now today we're going to look at a man who was a creditor and he had 2 debtors. We'll read in chapter 7. Gospel according to Luke in chapter 7. Now I'm going to lay my watch down here today. You know the story that John Phillips used to tell us. But the little boy who asked his mother, says, what does it mean when the preacher lays his watch on the desk? She said, that doesn't mean a thing. It'll mean a thing to me today. I've been telling you all along that there's one of these lights back there. It shines right in that clock up there. And when it comes between 11:45 and 12 o'clock, you can't read a thing on that clock from here. But I'll be able to read this if I look at it. So I'll try and look at it when it comes near the time so that I won't keep you late. I wouldn't like to think that the folks from the Baptist Church will get up to the restaurant before some of you folks. If they do, there's a long line. You'll maybe get there first. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of the Scriptures. Shall we bow again for a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, with quietened hearts, we turn now to Thee, asking that Thou wilt speak to every one of us. By Thy Holy Spirit wilt Thou move through our midst today, from seat to seat, from heart to heart, and grant that each of us shall realize that this gathering now shall leave its mark for eternity. And so we commit each one to Thee. Grant, O God, that we'll understand in some measure the value of what we've been reading. And so we present the whole matter to Thee now for this service, asking Thy richest blessing in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now it's a remarkable thing how that this Pharisee should invite the Lord to his home. Sit down and just think of that for a moment. A Pharisee. He belonged to a certain group that the Lord condemned over and over again. He pronounced woes upon them. He gave warnings about them. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. That was the doctrine of the Pharisees. In one chapter in the Bible, he kept pronouncing woes against them for what they were and who they were. Yet here is a Pharisee who invites the Lord to come along to one of the feasts that he was providing in his home. I wonder why. Why did he invite the Lord? He's the first character we see, you see, in this particular passage, Simon, the self-righteous Pharisee. He was the host. He's providing the feast. He'd be inviting his guests. And he invites the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Why? Was it because he had some respect for him? I don't think so, because the story indicates that he showed very little respect to him. Was it because he was setting a trap for him? Like some of the others, in order to catch him in some of the things he would say, whereby they would have a cause for accusation and condemnation. For the Pharisees had been setting their nets all the time in order to catch the Lord, whereby they might accuse him to other authorities. I wonder, was that the reason he invited him? Or was it simply through curiosity? He had heard the reports about this man who had been the carpenter in the town of Nazareth. But now as he had gone out into his public ministry, his fame had spread abroad. Why, he was giving sight to the blind. He was able to make the lame to walk. He could make the deaf able to hear. And so because of his great miracles, he had even in the city of Nain, he had raised the dead man, the son of a widow. And his fame had spread abroad. Is it possible that this man had become curious and thought, what an opportunity if he's in this area, just to invite him along to the home on the Sabbath afternoon And we'll see him for ourselves, and perhaps we'll be able to listen to some of his teaching or ask him a few questions. Well, we're not told whether it was through curiosity or whether he was really trying to trap the Savior or whether he had some special love for the Savior. We'll leave you to judge as we pass through. The second person, of course, in this home that day who is specially mentioned, there was a lot of people gathered for the feast, that's obvious. But the second outstanding person to whom our attention is directed is the sinner. But at that time, she was a forgiven sinner. And we'll have something to say about her. Here was this uninvited guest. She came in, broken, you might say, came in uninvited. I wonder why she was there. It's obvious. She had love for the Savior, and she knew the Savior was there. And she came to be where the Savior was. And then there's the third person who is specially mentioned, and that's the Savior of sinners. He also was there. He was an invited guest. Now I want you to picture them then as they've met in this home. Three of them, specially mentioned, along with others who will be gathered around the table and engaging themselves in eating the things that had been provided. But now when you think of this man who was the host, he watches what's going on, and perhaps he thought, right here, I found out something. If he certainly was anxious to learn something about the Savior, his mind is operating all the time. Who is this fellow? We only knew him to be a carpenter. But now he seems to be having a lot of fame around the place. But who is he? How can I find out something about him? Is he really a prophet? Some folks say he is. We're not sure. Our Pharisees group have had meetings time and time again, and we're not confident who he is. We don't know who he is. We don't think he's a prophet. But now I've discovered for myself, I've decided he's not a prophet. Now watch how this man, with his so-called intelligence, his so-called self-righteous attitude, he's beginning now to come to a conclusion of things as to who this Jesus of Nazareth is, or who he isn't. Oh, he said, now I know he is not a prophet. Because if he were a prophet, then he would be able to discern this woman who has come in. He would know what kind of a woman she is, for everybody knows what she is. She's just a woman of the city, that's all. A woman of the street. In plain words, what you and I would call today a prostitute. That's all she is. A sinner of the very lowest type in the city. If he were a prophet, he would know what she is. And he would not allow her to come even near his feet. Yet see what he's allowing. So you see, the Pharisee was wrong in his thoughts. My friend, let me ask you right now, what are your thoughts about the Savior? Who do you think he is? For remember, what think ye of Christ is the test to prove both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. If you don't have correct thoughts about the Savior, then you cannot be correct in anything else. You've got no acceptance with God unless you're right in your thoughts of the Savior. Oh, if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. But his thoughts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ were wrong. Not only did the Lord know who this woman was, not only did he know what kind of a woman she had been, and what kind of a woman she now was. There had been a change, you see. The Lord knew that. But he knew more than that. He knew what kind of a man Simon was. He knew he was only a bigoted, self-righteous Pharisee who would look down his nose at that woman. Holier than thou, don't come near my feet. Besides, who gave you authority to come into my house? And perhaps you're thinking the same. But you see, it was a customary thing then. The door would be open because he'd be showing off to the people what he was and what he was doing. He was having a feast. And he had all his friends in. And so they had to see what a great fellow he was, how generous he was. See the feast. And see, he even invited this preacher fellow to come in. The door was open. And of course the neighbors would come along to have a peek. Some of them would steal right inside the door to watch, and perhaps they would get a little that was left. But this woman came in, but the door was open. It was the Lord she wanted to be near. She had something to bestow on the Lord for what he had already done for her. And so she came in and went right behind him. You've got the idea, and you know how they reclined on their couches. And so she comes into where his feet are, and she stands. And she begins to weep. Her tears are falling on his feet. And after the tears fall on his feet, she goes down, and she begins to wipe his feet with the hair of her head. Oh, what a scene! And that's when the heart of this Pharisee is boiling over. Oh, she wouldn't be allowed to do that to me. I wouldn't let her come near. I wouldn't let her touch me. She's a sinner. That man's allowing her to wash his feet with tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. And then it's at that moment that we're introduced to the parable. Notice how gracious the Lord is, how kind he is to both of them. He says, Simon, there's something I would like to say to you. I have a message for you. Now, perhaps Simon should have been looking and saying, well, why doesn't he say something to that woman if he were a prophet? Why does he put her about her business? No, the Lord says, Simon, I have something to say to you. You know, friend, this has happened over and over again. Oh, I've heard it with my own ears. Meetings are being held. Neighbors are invited to come in. People from the town have been invited, and places are getting packed out. They don't do these things now, but they used to do. I've seen the days when you had to be early to get a seat when special meetings were on. I remember having meetings one place where there were a partition at the back here, and they had to take that partition down, open it out. And there was a room at the back packed up with chairs that hadn't been used for a long while. They had to hurry up and dust them and clean them. Put them up the aisles and use them in at the back here. They were sitting around me on the platform. I had only room to stand here. people anxious to come and hear the gospel. But I've seen people saying, my, my, did you see who was in tonight? Wasn't that a good message for her? And wasn't that a first-class message for him? But they never thought and say, wasn't that a first-class message for me? It was always for somebody else. Doesn't the preacher strike that man well tonight? First time I've ever seen him at a meeting with, my, he got something tonight. He got something. See, when we come to the stage where we think that the message is always for somebody else, we're missing it. Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. I've a message for you, Simon. That's how we ought to come to the Word of God. What is God saying to me? What has this message got to tell me? Is it for me? I have somewhat to say unto thee. And Simon looks at him, he says, all right, Master, say on. Oh yes, he acknowledges him as Master. Teacher, teacher, say on. If you have something to say to me, I'll listen. Tell me what it is. Well, all right, here's what it is. It's got to do with three people. The three people, one of them is a creditor. And the other two are debtors. Simple story. It may be that in the town there was a moneylender. You might give him a rather classical name and call him a banker. Where you go for a loan. Moneylenders. And so this moneylender had money to lend out to people who would come and ask for it. And so he lent out to two people. And there came the time when they couldn't pay back what they got. Now, I could tell you a lot of strange stories about money lenders. Here was a man who was a manager of a certain business, and he, somebody who lived in the village who was owing them a debt. Oh, he had told them about it once or twice, but they weren't paying it. And one day he had a phone message from a moneylender about 20 miles away. He said, since you're the manager of that business, he said, do you know the people around there? Yeah, he said, do you know a man by the name of such and such? He said, yes, I do. He said, has he a good income? Is he a good worker? Has he got a good job? And so on. And he was just about to say to him, have nothing to do with him, when it suddenly dawned on him, oh, he's there for a loan. He says, oh yes, he's got quite a good job, yes, he works very steady, and he gets a fair good income. He says, as far as I know, it's all right. So the next week, his debt was paid. Suppose he had started to tell that he was owing him and so on, and the other, well, the loan wouldn't have come. But he got his loan and this man got his debt paid. So a lot of strange things happen, you know, when you get those fancy phone calls. But he was one, a creditor. And he had given credit to two different people. And there came the time when they should have repaid, but he said they didn't have the money to pay back. One only owed 50 pence, of course, that's mere nothing. That was only, in these days, that was only about 50 days' wages. And if you work 6 days a week, well, that's about a month's wages. That's all. That's not too much. But the other one, why? 500 pence. That's quite a lot. Quite a big debt. See, a penny in these days was a day's wages, a denarii. He was one with 500 days wages that he owed. But the man who was the creditor met with the two of them, perhaps at different times, listened to the story, and was very gracious to them, and he frankly forgave them both. Scored it off. Gave them a clean ticket. You owe nothing. I don't want it. Now, Simon, tell me, which of these two do you think would have loved him most? Now, you've got the answer too, so did Simon. Oh, he said, I suppose the one to whom he forgave most. Suppose you'd been standing at the door of that little office that day, and out came the one who had owed 50 pence, and they said, how'd you get on? He says, a wonderful fellow that. I like him. He says, you know, I owed him 50 pence, and he said I hadn't to pay, and he says, he scored it off. I've not to worry about it. That's good. Out comes the other person, and they say, well, I owed him 500 pence. And he's given me a clear ticket. Oh, my, he's a wonderful man. I'm going to tell everybody about him, how kind he's been to me. Who would love him most? The one to whom he forgave most. So it narrows down to this, my friend. The real meaning of the parable is this. Forgiveness for a debt. What debt? And the expression of love according to the appreciation of the forgiveness. I might ask you this, my friend. As we place ourselves right here and we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the great creditor, and we see ourselves as the debtors. Oh, perhaps you've never thought of yourself before as a debtor. Even the great Apostle Paul, you know, in writing his epistle to the Romans, he says, I am debtor. He admitted it. And he was willing to discharge his debt as much as lay within him. It's one thing to be a debtor. It's a different thing when you try to meet your responsibilities. Some folk are debtors and they don't want to meet their responsibilities. In fact, they move up. I remember when I was quite young, many years ago, I left home and went to work in the great city of Glasgow. And I was about 19 years of age at the time. And one day my boss said to me, look here, Willie, he said, I want you to put your hat on, put your coat on, look as smart as you can now, and take this book under your arm. He gave me a great big book to hold around. It looked kind of official-like, you know. And go around there, he says, to the terraces. And go to Mrs. So-and-so's door. He says, she's owing a debt here. And he says, we've all tried. See if you can get anything out of her. So I went, you know, and tried to put on all the airs and graces I could, showing I had some authority. Moved that big bell thing. You'd hear it ringing away, and then somebody came to the door. I said, is Mr. So-and-so in? He said, yes. I said, I'm from Thomas Spears and Company. And oh, come in. So I went in. Here she is lying on a settee with a great big cigarette holder in her mouth and a cigarette here, just puffing away, as if she was somebody. I told her what I was there for, to try and collect the debt. But, oh, yeah. And my check will be coming in next week. I'll see that it's all paid up next week. That was all. I couldn't get anything out of her. 2 days later, we learned she had done a moonlight. Big van had come along, and all she possessed was in it. She was off. Nobody knew where she had gone. And all the tradesfolk around that area and that street, they were looking for her. She'd been doing this all along. Debt. But she had no intentions of paying it. A debtor. Playing on the shopkeepers, tradesmen around the place. A lot of people like that. They do the moonlight. Off they go. They don't pay. You can't do that with God. God knows exactly where we are and what we're doing. And we are debtors to God. And the strange thing is, we can't pay the debt. None of us. But He's ready to forgive us. There's forgiveness with God. When they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. I like that. Frankly forgave them both. He didn't do it with a grudge. He didn't say, well, if I can't get anything out of you, I'll just get it. But He didn't do that. He didn't just write it off. Somebody else took the responsibility. Yonder at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took the guilty sinner's place. Bear the sin of our apostate race on His own body on the shameful tree. He paid the price. And when we come now to the Word of God, we read this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now Simon might have said, but you don't put me on the same level as that woman, do you? I haven't stooped to the level she's stooped to. I haven't committed the sins that she has committed. Why, of course, I pay my way all the time. I attend every service. I keep all the feasts and I keep the fasts. And I give tithes of all that I possess. I don't sin like that woman. Simon, you may only be the 50 pence debtor, but you're still a debtor. That woman may be the 500 pence debtor. But see your attitude towards me. Oh, you invited me to your house, all right. By the way, if the Lord was to come into the Raleigh area today, and you heard that the Lord was here, would you be willing to invite Him into your house? Would you like the Lord to be in your house as your guest this afternoon? Or would you be afraid or ashamed? Simon, I came into your house by invitation, but, and here's the point I raised to begin with, there was an ulterior motive. Must have been. For when I came in, you didn't give me that kiss of acceptance. That was the way in the East where they greeted their invited guests. You remember even the prodigal's father, that's how he met his old prodigal son. In all his rags and tatters, he gave him a kiss. Kiss of reconciliation, kiss of acknowledgement. You never gave me a kiss. In fact, I'd walked that road and my feet were sore. The sand had got inside my sandals. And you didn't give me the customary basin of water to wash my feet. You didn't do it. You didn't put oil on my head to soothe my head. And this woman that you're looking upon as a sinner, this woman has washed my feet with the tears from her eyes. She's wiped them with the hairs of her head. You wouldn't give me a kiss to acknowledge me as a friend. She's even kissed my feet. She's taken the place of the humble worshipper at my feet. Oh, she may only be a sinner in your sight, but she's a forgiven sinner. And that's why she loves so much, because she's been forgiven so much. You see, she was like the 500 pence debtor, and she's been forgiven. 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 And now she's expressing her love to the one that forgave her. Now he turns to the woman And he says, thy sins are forgiven. And the people sitting around him, who can forgive sins but God? Is he taking the place of God? Who is he? Yes, he was God manifest in flesh. What think ye of Christ? If this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is, and he did. He knew she was a sinner who had been forgiven her sins. But what about Simon? There's no record that Simon ever trusted the Savior. He may have, but there's no record of it. But here's a woman whose sins were many, have all been forgiven. She required forgiveness because she was a sinner. And we all require forgiveness because we're sinners. And if you think for a moment, my friend, that you're not a sinner, it's time you are being awakened to the fact. For the Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you telling me I'm a sinner? I don't need to tell you you're a sinner. The Bible says so. And your conscience bears you witness. You are a sinner. And a sinner needs to be forgiven. Not only did she require forgiveness, she received forgiveness. That's wonderful. Thy sins are forgiven. At the Bible class before this service, the brother who took the class was reminding us that even David had to be forgiven and was forgiven for his awful sin. Forgiveness is required. Forgiveness can be received. And what is the result then of forgiveness? He says, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Perhaps she came in fear and trembling. She went out in peace. Therefore, says the word of God, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, have you got that peace with God today? Would you be ready? Or would you be afraid to meet your God right now? Would you? Go in peace. Thy sins have forgiven thee. Thy faith has saved thee. Here's the result of forgiveness. Peace with God. Friend, if you had been in that home that day, either as an invited guest or an uninvited guest, but you found yourself there watching the proceedings, and you heard the discussion, you heard the parable as related by the Lord, you knew Simon the Pharisee, and you also knew this woman who was a sinner of the street. And you watched it all and you listened to the message of the Savior, I ask you. How would you have left that home? Would you have been at the Savior's feet before you left, accepting forgiveness from him? Whether you're a 50 pence debtor or a 500 pence debtor is not the question today. The matter today is you are a debtor because of sin. And the only way to be liberated from that debt is by the exercise of faith in claiming Jesus Christ, who has stood in the breach and met your every need and is willing to save you now, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy kindness to us in providing a Savior Oh God, if we'd been left to our own resources, we would have perished and perished eternally. But we thank Thee for one who loved us, came from heaven's glory, went all the way to Calvary's cross in order to provide salvation for sinful men and women. We thank Thee, O God, that sinners Jesus will receive. So we pray that even now Thou shalt speak to every heart. It may be, O God, there's a trembling soul wondering if You'll speak forgiveness to them. Wilt Thou undertake for them and grant that today they shall be moved to exercise faith in Thy Son and leave this place with the peace of God reigning in their heart. Hear us in these things for His own name's sake. Amen.